ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनुभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामायं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवंश्च श्रीरूपं सग्रजातं सहागनरघुनाथान्वितं तं सजैवं सद्वैतं सावधूतं परिचिन्नसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवम् श्रीराधाकृष्णपदं सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखानितंश्च हे कृष्ण कर्णसिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकाकण्ठ राधाकण्ठ नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गे राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरी वृषभानुस्तुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वञ्चकौपतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभयैव च पतितनं पवानेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्रीहद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदे गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे So this evening we're reading Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 10, text number 10. Tesham satita yuktanam bhajatam pritipurvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Translation: to those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the word buddhi yogam is very significant. We may remember that in the second chapter, the Lord, instructing Arjuna, said that he had spoken to him of many things and that he would instruct him in the way of buddhi yoga. Now, buddhi yoga is explained. Buddhi yoga itself is action in Krishna consciousness. That is the highest intelligence. Buddhi means intelligence, and yoga means mystic activities or mystic elevation. When one tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called buddhi yoga. In other words, buddhi yoga is the process by which one gets out of the entanglement of this material world. The ultimate goal of progress is Krishna. People do not know this, therefore the association of devotees and a bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know that the goal is Krishna. When the goal is assigned, then the path is slowly but progressively traversed, and the ultimate goal is reached. So we've been hearing the Chaturshloki verses. We began with the Sambandha description that everything comes from Krishna. Everything is manifest from him. And then last night we heard how Krishna is worshipped. The devotees worship Krishna by constantly discussing and describing about him, taking pleasure in the discussions of Krishna. And tonight we're hearing Prayojana, about the goal, the perfection of life that comes about when the Lord reciprocates with the devotees. And this verse describes how Krishna reciprocates. Srila Prabhupada explains what is the meaning of Buddhi Yoga. He says that when one tries to go back home, back to Godhead, and takes fully to Krishna consciousness in devotional service, his action is called Buddhi Yoga. So that this Buddhi Yoga, in the translation, it's not mentioned as Buddhi Yoga, but simply it's described as the understanding by which they can come to me. So who does Krishna award this understanding? Who does Krishna give this knowledge to, this Buddhi Yogam to? He gives it to those who are Tesham Satita Yuktanam, that they're constantly engaged in Krishna's service. And also Pratipurvakam, that they're they have this love for Krishna. They're not just only serving Krishna, that, oh, I have to do this, the temple commander told me to do it, nobody needs to do it, they asked me to do it. We don't do it grudgingly, but we do it with this priti, this loving attachment, that we really want to do it. We see it as something very significant and very meaningful and important to us. Prabhupada describes Pratipurvakam in loving ecstasy. Yeah. The next time you do some service for Krishna, we can just consider, are we doing it the right way? Are we actually doing this with loving ecstasy? They need somebody to do arti. Nobody's available. The pujari is sick or something. Prabhu, can you do arti? Oh, why you ask me to do it? There's not a lot of priti there, But this is real devotion Krishna is describing. Who gets this Buddhi Yogam? Who becomes qualified to get the understanding by which we can come to Krishna? That's not just given to anyone. This knowledge by which Krishna is revealed to us, it comes about when we qualify ourselves, and the qualifications are described. Tesham satita yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. So constantly engaged in loving service, then we become qualified to get this kind of reciprocation from Lord Krishna. He acts on the heart. He reveals himself to us. This kind of reciprocation between the Lord and his devotees is described, for example, Lord Chaitanya described that Rupa Goswami had been empowered by Lord Krishna to write his books. Lord Chaitanya came to meet Rupa Goswami on the beach at Jagannath Puri, and he asked Rupa Goswami to read some verses which he had composed, you know, from Mukta Madhava or something like that, one of his books. And then when Lord Chaitanya heard the verses, he was so pleased with these verses. He described that this Krishna has dictated to you. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada would often say, I have not written these books, especially his Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He would say, I have not written these books. And he himself would take pleasure in hearing the books being read. You know, it wasn't out of pride that, oh, just see how nicely I have written. But Prabhupada would say, Krishna has written through me. Krishna has written through me. Similarly, the Baladeva Vijayabhusan's commentary on Vedanta Sutra, it's entitled Govinda Bhashya, that Lord Govinda actually spoke the commentary of Vedanta Sutra to Baladeva Vijayabhusan so that he could properly defend the Vaishnava Siddhanta. At that time, Baladeva Vijayabhusan had been called to Jaipur, and there was a challenge coming from the Ramanandis, and they were saying that, you know, Baladeva Vijayabhusan, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, these people, they're not a bona fide Sampradaya. They were challenging the authenticity of the Sampradaya. They said they're not a bona fide Sampradaya because they don't have their own commentary on Vedanta Sutra. We didn't have our own commentary at that time because we always accepted that Srimad Bhagavatam was the actual commentary on Vedanta Sutra. That Vyasadeva himself had given the authorized commentary on Vedanta Sutra in the form of the Srimad Bhagavatam. But the Ramanandis challenged, no, everybody's got their own commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Ramanuja has written, Madhvacharya has written, where is your commentary? Even Shankaracharya, he's got his commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Where is your Gaudiya Bhashya? So Baladeva Vijayabhusan, he had to write. And he prayed to Lord Govinda, and Govinda spoke to him the commentary. So like this, we see how the Lord reciprocates to the devotees when they have that qualification, when their mood is pure loving service for the satisfaction of the Lord. Total commitment to the service of the Lord. This is Buddhi Yoga. Prabhupada is describing it. In second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, it was first mentioned by Lord Krishna. Second chapter, verse 39. Eshite bihita sankye buddhi yoga dananjaya. Krishna is saying, so far I've spoken to you the analytical knowledge of the soul, sankhya. He said, now I will explain to you how you can work without being attached to the results of your activities. And in this way you will become free from all reactions to your activities. So this was Krishna's reference to Buddhi Yoga. But actually, he didn't exactly describe what is Buddhi Yoga. You know, he went on to speak, in this endeavor, there's no loss and diminution, and a little advancement made will save one from the greatest danger. And then those who are on this path are resolute in determination, and their aim is one. But he didn't actually describe what is Buddhi Yoga until here in the 10th chapter. It actually comes. This is the actual description. What is Buddhi Yoga? That Krishna reciprocates with the devotee from the heart, and he gives understanding so that they can come to him. So Prabhupada explains to us that the ultimate goal of progress has to be Krishna. And people do not know this. Therefore, the association of devotees and the bona fide spiritual master are important. One should know the goal is Krishna. When the goal is assigned, the path is slowly but progressively traversed, and the ultimate goal is achieved. So sometimes we know, of course, people are reading Bhagavad Gita, and they're thinking the goal is simply detachment. Don't be attached to the results. You say, oh, work without attachment to the results. They're thinking this is a goal. Don't be attached. Detachment. But Prabhupada is explaining here, the real goal is Krishna. The detachment from the material does not mean detachment from the spiritual. We must detach ourselves from the material, but that comes about automatically as we become attached to Krishna. The more we're attached to Krishna, then naturally the more we're detached from all the material. There is a natural progression. We cannot maintain attachment for Krishna and at the same time also be attached to the material. It is mentioned in the scriptures, there's one verse, that just like when a person eats food, he naturally feels relief from hunger, he feels nourishment and satisfaction. In the same way, any person who is practicing devotional service, bhakti yoga, he will automatically become attached to Krishna and detached from the material. And he will develop this transcendental experience with the Lord. He will start to feel the pleasure of performing service for the Lord. This comes about automatically. Just like a person also feels relief from hunger. So devotional service is a process of attaching ourselves to Krishna. How can we get this attachment for Krishna, that Krishna will inspire us, will speak with us? Buddhi yoga is described as actual communion with the Lord. The Lord will speak to the devotee and inspire him, instruct the devotee. Sometimes people think our goal is to see the Lord. Actually, that's not our real goal. Sometimes impersonalists, sahajas, they're very eager to see the Lord. They think it's very important. Do people ever ask you, have you seen the Lord? Did God come to see you? Have you seen God? You know, so, and sometimes, you know, you feel a little disappointed. You say, no, I haven't seen him yet, you know. But actually, seeing the Lord is not the real goal. We don't, you know, there are many people saw Krishna, but they didn't surrender to him. They didn't serve him. They weren't devotees. You know, Krishna came to Mathura with Lord Balaram, and they met Kamsa's laundryman, carrying all kinds of silk. And they said to him, oh, we have just come from the countryside. We don't have such nice cloth there in the countryside. You've got so many nice silks. Can you give some to us? And the laundryman said, don't be so cheeky. These are King Kamsa's clothes. He'll have you punished for talking like that. And so, you know, the laundryman had the piety. Somehow, he had the piety to meet Lord Krishna, but he wasn't so pious that he could serve Krishna. Similarly, also Duryodhana also met Krishna a lot, you know, but he didn't, you know, he wasn't a devotee. In fact, he even tried to capture Krishna at one point, and Krishna had to show some universal form to Duryodhana so that Duryodhana could understand, not so easy thing to capture Krishna. Anyway, so the point is, you know, the goal is not to see Krishna. What is the goal? Our goal is to love Krishna. That is the important thing. It is not seeing God. It's loving God. How much we have love for the Lord, that is the important thing. How much we have surrendered ourselves to his service. So this is, of course, what is being stressed here in Bhagavad Gita also. Krishna never says, you do this, you become my devotee, you'll see me. But here we see Krishna saying that he will instruct, he will give instruction. He becomes a teacher. He is, of course, the Chaitya Guru. He's a spiritual master in the heart. And he makes arrangements to guide the devotees. We'll be hearing a little more about this. We'll just read on. The purport goes on. Second paragraph. When a person knows the goal of life, but is addicted to the fruits of activities, he is acting in karma yoga. When he knows that the goal is Krishna, but he takes pleasure in mental speculations to understand Krishna, he is acting in jnana yoga. And when he knows the goal and seeks Krishna completely in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, he is acting in bhakti yoga or buddhi yoga, which is the complete yoga. This complete yoga is the highest perfectional stage of life. So a person may know what the goal of life is, but still he's attached to enjoying karma yogi. And some others, they know Krishna is the goal of life, but they're attached to speculation. They like to enjoy the pleasure of their own mind. So these kind of people, Krishna does not reciprocate with them. Krishna is not going to give them that same instruction from the heart. He is giving this instruction only to those who are devoted to him. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. So not just only devoted, but devoted with in loving ecstasy to him. The devotee is so dear to Krishna that Krishna becomes controlled by this love of his devotee. And this is how he reciprocates, by giving them more understanding and helping them on the path of spiritual progress. Those who are not devotees, who don't have these qualifications, then, you know, they may be feeling some instruction from the heart. They may be feeling something. They may be saying, no, from the heart, you know, Krishna is telling me from the heart. But the test is, we have to judge how they make spiritual progress or not. When one is properly qualified to get the proper instruction from the heart, then one will make great progress in spiritual. He'll do wonderful service for the Lord. He'll have wonderful achievements. And we see Prabhupada's books are wonderful. Rupa Goswami's books are wonderful. Similarly, Lord Brahma was inspired from the heart. Tenhi Brahma Ridayadi Kavaye. You know, we may say, Krishna's telling me from the heart. It's Krishna's arrangement. Krishna told me I could steal this person's bicycle. Krishna told me I could take this cigarette, or I could go and eat here. And, you know, it's not a difficult job to judge if it's really Krishna or if it's just the person's own sentiment, which is carrying away his mind and senses. So it's advised that in our neophyte condition, we don't try to take direction from the heart. In our elementary stage of devotion, we're not qualified to get this kind of direction from the heart. It comes at the elevated stages when one is very advanced in devotional service. To have this priti purvakam, this kind of loving ecstasy for the Lord's service, you know, we have to develop this taste for devotional service. It doesn't come about easily. It takes, you know, it's described in the previous verse, what we have to do. We have to be relishing the messages of the Lord, constantly discussing them and absorbing our mind continually in thoughts of the Lord. And then the Lord begins to reciprocate when he sees our sincerity of purpose. Not that just immediately Krishna reciprocates from the heart. As it is said in Bhagavad Gita, ye yatamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyam. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. If we are thinking of Krishna a few minutes a day, then Krishna will think of us a few minutes more. But if you are thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day, Krishna will think of you 27. Right? The Lord will give more. That is the point. As we reciprocate with the Lord, he reciprocates with us. He knows our sincerity of purpose. So, those who are not devotees, you know, they're not going to, they have no one to look to for guidance, no one to direct them, no one to lead them, instruct them. But the devotee, for one who is devotee to the Lord, we come to the Lord and we pray to him. Just like Krishna Das Kaviraj, when he was asked to write Chaitanya Charitamrita, he came before the deities and he prayed to them, Madan Mohan, and Madan Mohan offered his garland, blessing him. Before Prabhupada went to preach in the West, he went to Shantipur, and he went to Mayapur, he went to different places and prayed that he would get the blessings of the Lord to be empowered to distribute the message of Krishna consciousness. So like this, devotees, you know, they take the help of the Lord and the Lord reciprocates, inspiring them, directing them from the heart. But in the beginning, we have to take direction from the spiritual master. In the beginning, in our Nephi stage, it's recommended you take direction not from the Lord in the heart, but from the external form. This external form of the super soul, which is in the form of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is there to direct us in our elementary stages of devotion. And as we progress more, then you can take direction from the super soul. And the Lord directs from the heart. But this is only for the bhakti yoga, bhakti yogi, the yogi in devotion, not for the others. Karma yoga, jnana yoga. And, you know, bhakti is an exalted stage. If you've studied Bhagavad Gita, we see that coming to the level of devotion is not such an easy thing. That we have to go through the yoga ladder. Krishna describes in the early chapters of Bhagavad Gita how, you know, there's a yoga ladder. He begins with the Karmakanda platform and then coming to Karma Yoga, Sakam Karma Yoga, then Niskam Karma Yoga, and coming up to Bhakti Yoga. So, Karma Yoga, we're working, but we're still attached to the results. Or, we're attached to the work. In Niskam Karma Yoga, one is working for Krishna and giving the results of his work to Krishna, but he's attached to working in a particular way. But Bhakti Yoga is one is surrendered to Krishna and will work whatever way Krishna wants him to work. He'll do whatever Krishna requires him to do. He has nothing to give Krishna because everything is Krishna's. He sees that everything is Krishna's. So he has nothing even to... He doesn't consider that he has anything of his own to offer to Krishna. So this bhakti yoga is, you know, it's a very elevated stage to be constantly absorbed in the Lord with love. Remember we described the bhajatam priti purvakam, bhaja, this worship of the Lord, that there's no conditions there. We don't expect anything in return. We were reading Lilamrita yesterday morning. Some ladies were offering some land to Prabhupada, but they had many conditions. And Prabhupada said, this is not charity in the mode of goodness. Charity and goodness is given without any expectation in return. So this devotional service is like that. It is transcendental to even goodness. There's one simply wants to give everything for Krishna and not expect anything in return. So that is devotional service. One simply wants to offer service to the Lord, and we don't even know if the Lord will accept our service or not. But we want to do it anyway. Even we don't know if the Lord will accept it, but still we want to do it. This is devotion. And that devotion, you know, should be as satyatam, constantly, you know, something we're doing constantly. Not just, you know, when we get time, but continually we're working in this consciousness for the satisfaction of Krishna. Prabhupada goes on, third paragraph, a person may have a bona fide spiritual master and may be attached to a spiritual organization, but if he is still not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instructions so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. The qualification is that a person always engage himself in Krishna consciousness and with love and devotion render all kinds of services. He should perform some sort of work for Krishna, and that work should be with love. If a devotee is not intelligent enough to make progress on the path of self-realization, but is sincere and devoted to the activities of devotional service, the Lord gives him a chance to make progress and ultimately attain to him. So, Prabhupada is describing this particular case. One may be initiated as a member in a spiritual organization and have a bona fide spiritual master. But still, for some reason or other, he's not intelligent enough to take advantage of these things and has difficulty making spiritual progress. But then the Lord acts on their heart, inspiring them what they need to do. Krishna reciprocates. He helps the devotee. He won't just stand by and see his devotee not progressing. Krishna wants to save his devotee. Kuntiya priti janihi name bhakta pranashati. Krishna declared his devotee is not going to perish. So Krishna makes arrangements for his devotee to make spiritual progress by giving them instruction from heart what they have to do to progress. It may come, you know, one may be given the direction that you have to pick up some other service. It may be you have to change your ashram. You may have to change the temple you're at. Something, we don't know exactly what Krishna wants, but Krishna will give the direction. Prabhupada got some direction from Krishna in this regard. He was living at home and he was thinking that I will make money, give money to Guru Maharaj. He was doing some business at that time. But then Prabhupada saw Krishna taking away his money. His business was failing. And he saw also that as his business failed, his family members no longer respected him. At one point even, his books went missing and he suspected they may have been sold to get some money for purchasing something like biscuits or something. So Prabhupada took all of these things as some direction from Krishna that it was time to get out from the home. And so Prabhupada changed his ashram always with the greatest reluctance. It wasn't that he moved suddenly, but he saw that this is a sign from Krishna, and he remembered the verse from Bhagavad Gita where Krishna says, when I'm especially merciful to someone, then I take away everything from them. And Prabhupada saw this verse was coming in his mind, and he was thinking that he was a recipient of Krishna's mercy. So he got out from home and went to Vrindavan. And then in Vrindavan, there also, he was getting instruction again. Krishna was instructing. Sometimes his Guru Maharaj was coming and telling him, you have to take sannyas. And he was thinking, who, me? No, not me. You know, I can't do it. You know, and he was thinking, it wasn't like Prabhupada was so eager to enter and to take that renounced order of life. He described like that several times his Guru Maharaj came and told, you have to do this, you have to do this. So, you know, Prabhupada then approached his godbrother, Keshava Maharaj, and he encouraged him, yes, you must do it, you should do this. And then Prabhupada accepted the sannyas. And then again, you know, to preach in the West, you know, Prabhupada was seeing Krishna's instruction that, you know, his Guru Maharaj wanted that they should preach. His Guru Maharaj had instructed not only our own Srila Prabhupada, but he had instructed many of his disciples that they should go to the West and preach, or that they should preach in the English language. And Prabhupada took the instruction very seriously. And he remembers meditating on verse in Bhagavad Gita, the Vishnu Chakravarti's purport to Vayavasayatmika Buddhir Ekeha Kurunandana, that those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. And he remembers Vishnu Chakravarti's purport saying that if one, that the absolute necessity, it's absolute, an absolute necessity that one follow the order of the spiritual master. If one does not fulfill the order of the spiritual master, then one cannot meet this criterion of vayavasayatmika buddhi, one-pointed devotion. So Prabhupada remembered his Guru Maharaj's instruction. So, you know, this is Krishna speaking in the heart of the devotee, inspiring him. And then Prabhupada going to the West, again, he remembered all that Krishna is speaking to his heart. If you ever get money, you have to print books. And Prabhupada put that in our heart so much, you know, telling us the importance that these temples are just stone and marble. And his Guru Maharaj had told him that he would rather just sell the marble and print books rather than just have a comfortable place for a few brahmacharis and sannyasis to stay. It was more important to print the books and preach. Rather, he didn't want to just maintain ashrams as a place for eating and sleeping, but they're a base for going out and preaching, fighting maya. So like this, this is how Krishna speaks in the heart of the devotee, that he is constantly inspiring us, that we have to go forward in our devotional service, meet all the instructions of Krishna and Guru. The Guru, of course, is speaking the words of Krishna. He knows how to please Krishna. So in the pure devotees, like that, Krishna speaks in the heart. And those who are even not so pure, but they're sincerely engaging in devotional service, as it's mentioned here. That a person is initiated and he's in society, but he's not making much progress. But Krishna acts, Krishna arranges for that person to make spiritual progress. He will make arrangements that they will, you know, that they will make them. Why? Because they have qualified that because of their sincerity and devotion. They're not idle. They're not just lazy and always missing when there's something to be done. But, you know, they're eager for service and willing to serve. They have that enthusiasm for devotional service. Then Krishna sees this is a qualified candidate for spiritual progress, to give some instruction in their heart. And that instruction, it may be some inspiration. You get inspired to go out and distribute books. You get inspired to do some bhakti briksha preaching, to have people come to your home and to start so many new groups like this. I was in Calcutta, in the suburb of Calcutta, Bihala, and there was one couple there. Young man was a lawyer with his wife, and they've started more than 30 different bhakti briksha groups in less than 1 year in Calcutta. Now they were, you know, at one point the man was in his legal profession, there was some strike because they were changing the charges of the legal system. The court expenses were all increased greatly, and the different lawyers were all on strike for some time. So during this period, he was driving around the car, and he happened to come, for some reason he wanted to look for a temple, and he came to the ISKCON temple. And he came to the temple, and he got some books, devotees preached to him. And he liked the preaching, because the devotees were always preaching verses from scripture. And he said, it was just like my job. He said, I'm a lawyer. And he said, we always, you know, we have references, you know, we quote from other cases and other judgments that the judge gave in this case. And he said, here were these devotees that were telling me Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, and Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, and they were quoting so many scriptures to him. He said, it sounded just like my job. And he thought it was really good. So he became inspired, and he also started preaching. And his wife also liked it very much. And somehow together, and they just exploded. Huge number of groups of bhakti briksha in hardly any time. So many people came forward. You know, so many little groups of people. So like that, you know, Krishna arranges. We have a little enthusiasm, a little desire. You know, then Krishna will give us a direction. He inspires us. He makes the arrangements. Just like Prabhupada, he'd been planning how to preach in Vrindavan, in his headquarters, his little room in Radha Damodar. He used to sit and plan. He used to, you know, write out temple schedules, and he'd write down questions and answer them. What kind of questions will these people in the West ask me? And he would write down answers. And he was all the time preparing. He told us, I was just planning how I was going to capture you all. Yeah, and then because Prabhupada had, you know, he had so much desire, so Krishna fulfills. Krishna gave that facility, sent him to America, you know, no money. Somehow Krishna arranged everything and sent people to help him to do everything. You know, unimaginable. Based on the pure desire of his devotee, Krishna's devotee. Krishna wants to serve the devotee as the devotee wants to serve him. So we can also have the same reciprocation. And in fact, we are. Krishna is reciprocating according to our desires. So we should try always to, you know, increase, expand our own desires, our own enthusiasm for Krishna's service. And there's no limit to what you can do. Huh? We say mukham karoti vacham pangam gayati girim yat kripatamam humbande shri gurum dinatarinam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a blind man can see the stars, a dumb man can recite poetry, a lame man can cross mountains. You know, Prabhupada always said impossible is a word in the fool's dictionary. So like that, you know, if we're thinking impossible, then, you know, we're fools. Because actually Krishna can do so much, but he wants us to be the instrument. So there's so much preaching, so much more we can do. We should never be satisfied and think, oh, temple's very nice. Now temple's nice and clean. I was telling the devotees when I was here, you know, I was here in 1978. So at that time, we didn't even have doors in front of the deities. We just had a curtain with no money for doors. There wasn't even a door on the outside of the temple. I was the temple president. I used to sleep in front of the Vyasa-san every night because I was afraid somebody may come in during the night because with no door on the temple itself. You know, I mean, the temple was opened in 76, but 78 we were still in this condition. So, you know, it took, you know, it's been slow but steady progress here in Hyderabad. It's very good. You know, your temple is looking very nice now. But don't just sit back and just maintain the temple. Now the real work has to be done. You have to go out and preach more. Preach like anything. One temple is not enough. You know, of course, you have Sringa Prabhu has his temple. Secunderabad now also we have a center. But you know, you can have so many centers. Prabhupada told us in Delhi, we could have 40, 50 centers there in every suburb of Delhi. So like that, you know, and with Bhakti Briksha, you know, you can have also so much preaching. There's so much to be done to fulfill the mission of Srila Prabhupada. Sets of Srimad Bhagavatam in every home. Very important. To distribute sets of Srimad Bhagavatam as much as possible. And high court judges with tilak. Mm-hmm. That's also Prabhupada's wish. So much has to be done to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's mission. We can never think, oh, everything's very nice. Just maintain. We cannot simply maintain ourselves in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes the example is given just like an arrow. You know, the arrow has to always be going forward. If it's not going forward, it goes down. In the same way with our devotional service. If our devotional service is not progressing, then it will go down. So we have to always try to not just simply maintain our devotion, but expand, increase our devotion. This is required. As devotees, we have to think first about our own devotion and also giving devotion to others. If we're thinking about our own devotion, we will naturally also think about how to inspire others in devotional service. That will be seen in our own consciousness. We cannot simply be satisfied just to save our own self. Devotee is compassionate to others and he sees other people suffering in material existence. He wants to bring them also to Krishna consciousness. So this is something of the significance of this verse this evening. It is describing Krishna's loving reciprocation with his devotees. How Krishna is attracted and how Krishna reciprocates with them with their pure love. And he gives them the understanding so that they can come closer to him. Are there any questions or comments on this verse? Ismailji? Oh, if we have an office, can we still do loving service? And to what? Yes, we may still be at the stage of anarthanuvritti, but certainly, you know, we still have some love for the Lord. The love is there. It may be influenced sometimes by our anarthas. In proportion to what degree we have anarthas, that is going to restrict our love for the Lord. So, we want to definitely try to increase our loving feeling for the Lord. If we know that we have, if we are conscious of our anarthas, then we have to work on overcoming these anarthas. We mentioned something of the anarthas. It may be in our chanting. It may be some attachments for material, some material things, you know. So we have to consider how we can purify this attachment for things which are obstructing our devotional service. The process is not difficult. The process to overcome this attachment is based by becoming more engaged in bhakti yoga. The more we absorb ourselves in hearing and chanting, then the more we will purify ourselves from the anarthas. Intensifying our hearing and chanting, our absorption in Krishna, the more we hear and chant properly, the more our remembrance will be increased also. And this will all help us to overcome the anarthas. And as we increase our service to the Lord, naturally, we will awaken our loving feelings for the Lord. This is a sign, actually, of love for the Lord, that we're more engaged in His hearing and chanting. You know, loving, it's not just, oh, Krishna, you know, or shedding tears or ecstasy, but real love is service, right? We often give the example about the, you know, the husband comes home from work at night and he sees the house is a mess and the wife hasn't done the laundry and there's no supper prepared, you know. And he says, what are you doing? And the wife is saying, I'm just sitting here thinking how much I love you. You know, so of course, real love is shown by service, right? You know, that the husband's not so happy to hear that his wife is so much in love with him, but you know, he appreciates more that she washed the clothes, cleaned the house, and had some food ready. You know, that is real love. So in the same is true in relation to Krishna. Devotional service is practical. It is not just some sentimental feeling of love for the Lord, but we show that love for the Lord by our active service. Actively engaging yourself in some service for Him, hearing and chanting, reading the books, studying Prabhupada's books intensely, cramming the purports, memorizing verses. You're driving your car, you know, you can be reciting verses, you can be hearing slokas. I remember that there used to be one devotee, he always had cards, you know, and you drive the car and something, you come to a red light and he had his cards above the windscreen. Immediately look up, see his flash cards with the verses written there and start memorizing a verse. Look at that, you know, taking every opportunity to observe them. His service was driving a truck for the temple. But even he came to a red light, immediately the cars were there, he'd be memorizing verses. So like this, you know. This, you know, we can all absorb our mind more in Krishna's service when we start seriously thinking about it. We really want to do it. There's so much more we can do for Krishna. We have to have that desire. So Krishna is there in the heart and He will instruct us. He will give us the inspiration on what we can do to improve our service, to expand our service, to help us to progress in Krishna consciousness. in chanting our rounds. We want to improve the quality of our chanting. Krishna will direct us. It may mean waking up earlier in the morning before people are up, because, you know, especially if you have children and you get up and your children are up and they're chanting, you know, it's difficult to chant with the children around because they need attention. So, you know, these are things to think about. Another question? Service on a selfless platform. You have to give up the attachment, the desire to be the enjoyer. Selfless service. We have to recognize that Krishna is the proprietor. So we have that mood of wanting to, of offering everything with love. If we don't have that love, you know, if our service is not selfless, we want something in return for that. It means our love is not very great. Our love is not so strong. So we have to increase that love. Selfless service. You know, in the beginning, you know, we may not have selfless service. It is described like four kinds of people come to Krishna consciousness. Chatur vidabhijanti mam jnana sukriti no arjuna. Arto jignasur artarpi jnani chambaratarshava. So four kinds of people come to Krishna and they surrender. They're not all selfless. One is in distress, one is in search of some material wealth, one is curious, and one is in search of knowledge. So, you know, if we come, we expect something from Krishna, you know, sometimes you get it, Krishna may give that material thing we want, and then we may go away. You give up Krishna. You think, well, I got what I wanted. You know, sometimes somebody comes to the Krishna consciousness, and we've seen in the West, you know, somebody, they didn't have a job or something, so they thought, I've just become a devotee, I move in the temple, don't have a job. But while they're devotees, they meet someone at the temple and tells them, give you a job. So they think, oh, I've got a job, I can move out the temple. You know, I don't need to be a devotee anymore. And, you know, they go away. Or, you know, sometimes devotees, we would be out selling books, and the devotees are good salesmen, and they meet someone, they say, why don't you sell my products instead of selling, you know? That happened a lot. You know, a lot of devotees used to get offers. You know, they were so good at they were such good salesmen, and they were selling books in the airport. Many people would say, "Hey, listen, take my card. If you ever need a job, come and see me." You know, you know, they thought that devotees were really great. You know, but you know, I didn't know too many devotees because they get so much bliss selling Prabhupada's books. You know, it's not like any. But if one is on that lower platform, if he's simply doing it for some, if it's not selfless service, then he may go and take the job. Yeah, he will give up devotional service. So, you how to get off that selfless platform, it's explained of those four people, the one in knowledge is the best. So the more you cultivate knowledge of Krishna and devotional service, the more you have, the more you're familiar with this philosophy of why we're serving Krishna, then the less you will be inclined to enjoy the result of the service. The more you will come to the selfless platform. So that's why we give so much importance to these classes, to hearing and training our devotees. You know, we were discussing this morning, devotees saying there may be other groups, spiritual groups, and they may have a lot more members and so on, but they don't, it's rare that they will ever give the kind of training and philosophy which we give in Krishna conscious society. We do put a lot of emphasis on training the devotees in this philosophy. That if they become aware of this knowledge, they can never give up Krishna consciousness. So the more we develop this knowledge, the more we will also come to this selfless platform. Appreciating that what is there to get from Krishna? You know that whatever we could get, you know, we may think we're needing something more, but Krishna's already providing sufficiently. If I have more, it may simply give me more problems. And it's always going to be temporary also. Why should I take something which is temporary and limited material when I can have the highest thing? Higher even than moksha, higher even than liberation, is service to the Lord, loving service. Because that is how we capture the Lord. Krishna will reciprocate on us. So this coming to the selfless platform, you know, as we awaken, again, Krishna will give the instruction how you can do this. And it may also come through Krishna's representative, that the devotees also will guide you and how to do more selfless service. You can also take the initiative to start doing menial service. Clean the temple floor sometimes. You know, do some little service for the temple. Make a point of performing some service around the temple without expecting anything in return. Serve prasadam to the devotees. And sometimes go on book distribution. And sometimes have a Harinam party. Just like there's one devotee here, every morning he goes on Harinam. So sometimes you can join him and go with him and chant the holy name. Selfless service. And feel how satisfying that service is. When the service is performed without any expectation of anything in return, then that is more satisfying than any other type of service. You do some service and expect something in return, we'll always feel disappointed that, oh, we didn't really get enough, it wasn't as much as what we expected, we wanted more in return, and like that, you know. We'll never be satisfied. But if we do something in a selfless way, that is the most satisfying service. And we can experience this. So experience itself is the best way. That as you experience the pleasure of selfless service, then you want to do it more and more. Another question? Prabhu?
A person may have a bona fide spiritual master, but if he is still not intelligent enough to make progress, then Krishna from within gives him instruction. Instruction so that he may ultimately come to him without difficulty. What is that not intelligent enough means?
What is that?
Not intelligent enough.
Not intelligent enough. Well, the spiritual master may give some instruction and, you know, he hasn't followed it very strictly, maybe. Not intelligent enough. It's, you know, the qualification for devotional service is not material. So, it may be that, you know, the person is not so conversant with the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. He hasn't studied the scriptures a lot. He's not so studious. And, you know, his intelligence is not inclined towards studying the philosophy and like that, but he keeps himself always absorbed, engaged in Krishna's service. You know, sometimes people do a lot of practical service. They don't spend much time reading, but they do a lot of service around the temple, do a lot of work. So, you know, they're maybe not so considered to be so intelligent, but, you know, as far as devotee goes, you know, they're very fully engaged, you know, they're good devotees. So people like that, they may not be so materially intelligent, but that's not an obstacle because Krishna will act on their heart and direct them.
Manoj, that selfless service which you told, if we do service in order to improve our relationship with devotees, that is in category of the selfless service?
I can't hear it so clear. Can you speak up?
In in order to improve our relationship.
You do selfless service
in order to improve the relationship.
Improve
the relationship.
It's
like we have in mind that if we do service, then we'll improve our relationship with Sri Prabhupada and senior Vaishnavas and our devotees.
Yeah.
So that comes in the category of selfless service.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. You do some service to improve relationships with the devotees. Definitely. That's also selfless service. Yeah. You're not expecting anything material there. You know, you're not looking for any... We shouldn't be expecting praise, you know. If we're expecting that people will appreciate us, you know, that, oh, you're doing such nice service. So like that. That would be not selfless. If we're expecting that people will have more appreciate. But just for the sake of pleasing the devotees, that's selfless, yeah. That we don't care somebody notices or not. In fact, if you can do some service without, which they don't notice, that's even better, of course, you know. But that's not always so easy. Do some service for the devotees, and certainly improves relationships. Devotees, actually, there's always competition for service, you know. Somebody, you may want to serve prasadam, and somebody will say, hey, that's my service, you know. Sometimes it's like that, you know. Yeah, not so easy. Devotional service is a rare thing. You have to value it. Sometimes we don't appreciate just how rare it is. You know, how fortunate, because you know. I know sometimes you know you want to do some service and somebody, no, hey, that's my service. I do that. You know. You thought, oh, I just thought I'd give you a break, Prabhu. You know. But they say, no, I don't need a break. This is my devotional service. You know, I want to do more devotional service. So like that, we know we should be greedy for devotional service. You have to have that greed for devotional service. This is one of the qualifications to purchase Krishna. When you have that greed to capture Krishna. This is the price you have to pay to get devotional service, right? Greed to achieve it. Yeah?
You said we should have greed for devotional service. So, like, we are getting devotional service and serve Lord, devotees, more and more. So, it is now our part to be grateful to Him. Now, like, we should be engaged in getting more and more service, or we should be, like, considering grateful.
You're not appreciating how fortunate it is to get that service. Yeah? Yeah. That's why you have to hear these things. I have to tell you. Sometimes, often it's like that. You know, when a person actually goes away from the association of devotees, then they start to appreciate more how fortunate they were when they were with the devotees. Often like that. And when we have devotional service and you have something, sometimes you can always appreciate it, how fortunate it is to have it. But when you lose it, then you lament more about it. So don't put yourself in that position. Try to appreciate by hearing that it is a rare thing, that we are fortunate to have it, and we should value it, and we should have that greed and go on dedicating ourselves like this. It's important for us to know these things so that we don't just take devotional service in a casual, contemptuous way. We have to appreciate this. I'm saying Krishna's giving you too much service. You can't handle it all. It's too much, eh? Well, there's a lot of other people here. No, actually, you should think you're very fortunate. That's a healthy thing. Our devotional service should be increasing. You should be trying to do more. We should be very grateful for this. And you should thank Krishna that he is giving you more service. How fortunate. And you should think that you shouldn't just be praying to Krishna to give you the ability to go on doing more and more. And to do it better and better. It's not just only doing things, but it's the quality, how we do them. You know, we have to do them with love. We have to have some appreciation that Krishna is so kind, he's given me this opportunity to use my senses in his service. I'm so fortunate. Just like a young person doesn't study at school, and then later on when he grows up, then he can't find a good job. And then he regrets that he never studied when he was young at school. So similarly in devotional service, when you're young and healthy, you know, then you can do a lot of devotional service, a lot of active service. But as you start to get older, or maybe once you're married and have family and like that, and you don't have so much spare time, and then you regret that you never took all the opportunities that you had when you were young to do service. So we should appreciate that Krishna is giving you this special opportunity to perform service. And we should take it. We should be very greedy. As I say, this greed, this utsahan, this is very important. Enthusiasm. Don't worry, Krishna is giving you too much service. Worry when you don't get the service. You don't worry when it's too much. You worry when there's nothing. That's a problem. Any other questions? Yes, Prabhu? How you can get that via Vyasatmika Buddhi? Well, the instruction is given by dedicating yourself to every instruction of the spiritual master. When you take every instruction of the spiritual master as your life and soul, even the small instructions, taking everything is very important in fulfilling these instructions. Then you get that vayavasayatmika buddhi. Dedication to the instructions of the spiritual master. So you can study all of Prabhupada's instructions, everything Prabhupada wants us to do, and dedicate yourself following every one of Prabhupada's instructions. Things like Prabhupada wrote many letters, everyone should get up by 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, chanting 16 rounds carefully and caring attention, studying his books, like all of these kind of things. And, you know, Prabhupada said everyone should join the Sankirtan party as soon as possible, you know, thinking how you could do some Sankirtan. You have to examine your own life. I don't know what is your situation and exactly everything you do in your life. So you know, you have to look yourself and study Prabhupada's instructions and think about how you can apply Prabhupada's instructions more into your own life. And where you come to Vayavasayadmika Bhuti, like this. Any other questions? Okay, so we will stop here now. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.